island of Euclidea is over 4,000 miles from Los Angeles, California. Yet most of the activity of our story has been around Los Angeles for some little time. To begin with, Mrs. Gregory and her entire party were landed safely back in California. The Euclidean girl submarine commander bringing her rocket plane down on Lake Hollywood. Now, Captain Bradford and this girl have set off again in the rocket plane, trying to reach Euclidea before G-47 and the scientists can escape. Mrs. Gregory, with Jerry and Joan and her crew, are to follow immediately with a large boat chartered for the occasion. We find Mrs. Gregory with her trusted employee, Johnson, waiting impatiently at the harbor for Jerry and Joan.
Oh, how long have we been waiting now, Johnson?
Over 3 hours, Mrs. Gregory.
3 hours. And what has happened?
Well, we have no way of knowing for sure.
No way of knowing. And somewhere in that southern sky, Tex and Elena are hurtling toward Euclidea at a speed of 1,000 miles an hour. Yet we have no way of knowing exactly what's happening to them. Jerry and Joan, over 3 hours since they went to Lake Hollywood to help Tex and Elaine take off. Yet we have no way of knowing where they are.
Well, nevertheless, I think we're doing the only sensible thing by remaining here on your boat, in the radio cabin. We're connected to the shore telephone, and they'll get word to us the minute they can do so safely.
But what could have happened to them?
Well, nothing very serious, or we'd have heard from them.
Oh, no, Johnson. It must be something serious. That's the reason we don't hear.
But we do know they left the lake 3 hours ago. We've sent two people up there, and no sign of them.
Johnson, I'm not ordinarily frightened by things like this. But we've seen so much of the power of these people. The Euclideans are clever and dangerous. Oh, I think Tex and that girl can take care of themselves. But Jerry and Joan have disappeared. In Hollywood, in broad daylight. It just isn't reasonable.
Well, they're not here. And we can't do anything but lie here and wait for them.
I know. But Texas expects us to be over 3 hours on our way by this time. Do you realize that we'll be 6 days getting to Euclidea? And that Tex and Elaine will have to keep that little plane afloat over that location for 6 days? Threatening the Euclideans and bluffing them into staying underwater and living on condensed food?
Yes, but all of that will be a matter of routine to both of them. The captain knows his business, and the girl strikes me as being more than usually clever.
Oh, she's remarkable. And Tex is a grand person. But neither of them can work miracles.
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Gregory. There's nothing more I can say.
I understand, Johnson. And I'm sorry for being such a worry to you.
I'll take it. Hello?
Hello? Who's this?
This is Johnson speaking.
Hello, Johnson. This is Jerry.
Jerry?
Jerry. Joan.
May I speak to Mrs. Gregory, please?
Sure. Hold it a minute. He wants to speak to you.
Oh, thanks, Johnson. Jerry, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. Joan's fine, too. Only we had a little trouble getting away to come down there.
Well, where are you now?
Well, we're in jail.
In jail?
Yes, I'm in jail. A good, strong jail, too. But we're going to get out right away.
Well, what did you do to get yourselves in there?
Oh, just what we thought was best to do. We tried to keep the story of what was going on from getting to the papers and the radio station. And we kept it quiet for 3 hours, but it's gone now.
Well, that may be long enough, Jerry. We have a man waiting with a set open in the radio shack. He hasn't heard anything yet, or we'd have found out about it.
Well, okay. We just talked to the chief and got everything fixed up. We'll be there in half an hour.
Half an hour? Well, you can't make that, Jerry.
Yes, we can. She's going to give us a police escort. We'll be there and ready to go in half an hour.
Well, we'll be ready to cast off when you arrive. Goodbye, Jerry.
Bye.
So they're in jail.
Yeah. Jerry says they got there trying to keep the news of our departure a secret.
Well, I think they were trying to cover up the captain's flight.
Oh, of course they were. Tex said that no matter what happened, we weren't to try to communicate with him or let anyone know he'd gone until they'd had 4 hours. That's put them at Euclidea.
Well, Jerry's apparently done his best. Even to the point of going to jail over it.
Oh, he's a great boy, Jerry is. He's been a wonderful help to us. Now, Johnson, I think we'd better get ready to shove off. If Jerry and Joan make it here in a half an hour.
How do you like it, Joan?
Oh, I like it very much. I have never ridden like this before.
These police cars are sure made to go when they have to.
Those men on what do you call them?
Motorcycles?
Yes, the motorcycles. They ride fearlessly and clear the way for us.
We're sure doing it in style, all right. Well, Joan, in just a few minutes we'll be on board the boat and on our way to Euclidea again.
And I hope for the last time. I want to live in your world, Jerry, with all of Mother's sensible, normal friends.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But, well, I like all this Magic Island stuff. Of course, it's exciting to me.
I beg your pardon, young lady.
Oh, yes, officer?
Sergeant, Joan. Sergeant.
I am sorry. Sergeant?
You're Mrs. Gregory's little daughter, I take.
Yes, sir.
And you live 14 years on that thing they call the Magic Island?
That is correct.
Then, would you be so good as to give me your autograph?
My autograph?
You know, Joan, like the picture stars do. Sign your name for the sergeant.
Would you do that?
I should be glad to, but I cannot understand your request. I do not know the customs of Hollywood, but I thought only celebrated people were asked for their autograph.
You're celebrated enough in my house. Sure, I've got a small daughter of my own, only 6 years old, and I've had many an argument with her. I tell her the old Irish bedtime stories about the banshees. They're the little people who come out at night, you know.
No, I did not know.
Well, they do. Many's the time I've heard the banshees wailing and seen the fairies dancing over the bog in County Down. But will my little girl believe that? She will not. Says she, there's no such thing as fairies.
Well, I agree with her.
Shame on you, Jerry Hart. And with a name like yours, too. And this beautiful girl sitting right beside you.
I will sign my name for you, officer. Sergeant. But what has that to do with your little girl?
Sure, and if I show her your name written in my traffic book, she'll believe me. She knows all about the Magic Island. And when she says that I've really had you riding in my car, I'll have less trouble with my bedtime stories hereafter.
I guess you might at that. Okay, Joan, sign your name for the sarge.
It will be a pleasure. Only think of it, Jerry. I have been asked for my autograph.
Yeah, I know. And when we get home, I suppose you want to go to work in the pictures.
I should not mind.
Well, there's no time for that now. We're pretty near the harbor, and we'll be plenty busy explaining to your mother after we do get there.
I've made the rounds for the third time, Mrs. Gregory. Everything's shipshape, and a couple of the men are holding us fast with hand-snubbed lines.
They should be here any minute now.
Oh, skipper.
All right.
Will you start the motors and stand by to shove off the instant Jerry and Joan are aboard?
All right.
Nearly 4 hours since the captain took off.
Well, I think we may expect to hear from him almost immediately after he lands at Euclidia.
Listen.
Yes, they're coming. Jerry said they had a police escort.
And I'll bet Jerry's making the most of that.
To say nothing of the thrill it is for Joan.
Well, McLeod's on his toes. He's starting the motors.
I wish we could hear from Tex.
Well, he hasn't been gone quite 4 hours, and they wouldn't have much chance of making it in less than that.
Johnson, listen.
They're on the pier now. It'll only be a minute.
Oh, skipper.
Aye.
They're coming.
Aye.
Ready to shove off?
Aye.
Will you please go in the radio shack and wait, Johnson? I know you won't miss anything. I'll meet them and order our sailing.
Very well, Mrs. Gregory. I'll watch the radio.
Good night, and good luck to the two of you.
Hurry, Joan.
We're coming, Mother.
Hi, skipper. Shove off. We're here.
Not so fast, Jerry.
Oh, give me a hand, Joan. Come on. Over you go.
Oh, thank you.
Hurry into my cabin, you two.
Cast off, skipper.
Aye.
And full speed ahead at every possible moment.
Aye.
We are sorry to be so late, Mother.
Oh, I'm sure you couldn't avoid it.
We sure couldn't. You see, Mrs. Gregory...
One moment, Jerry. Wait until we get in the cabin.
Gee, Mrs. Gregory, somebody on board you can't trust?
No, Jerry. Just that I want to talk in here where Johnson can reach me immediately if he picks up anything on the radio.
No news of the captain as yet?
No, but we're expecting it any time.
Golly, we sure got underway quick.
Yes, Jerry, we've been waiting for you over 3 hours, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Mrs. Gregory. But we had a good reason. You see, a reporter and a cameraman followed us to Lake Hollywood and saw the captain and Elaine take off in the Euclidean rocket plane.
Oh, Jerry, they didn't know what Texas' destination was.
They seem to have a very good idea.
But how, Joan?
Well, golly whiskers, Mrs. Gregory. Everybody in the country knows about our trip down the Magic Island. And I'll bet plenty of people managed to find out we got back all right.
But they couldn't possibly have known about Texas' formula or what he plans to do at the underwater city.
No, Mother. They do not even suspect the existence of Euclidia. But they do know a great deal about the Magic Island.
What happened?
Well, they came dashing up just as the rocket plane took off. But they were too late to get a good picture of it.
But they took our pictures, Mother.
Well, that couldn't do any harm. But how did you get in jail?
Well, we figured that Tex didn't want any stories about this flight of his to get out until he was at Euclidia.
Knowing that Elaine and the captain were afraid G-47 would be inspired to make a desperate attempt to escape if he realized capture was so near.
That's right. But you couldn't stop the story.
Oh, we did for a while. Well, I took a shortcut over the hills and headed them off on a one-way road and swung your car around so it blocked the road and couldn't be moved. Then we had plenty of luck when the road behind them filled up with cars before they could get out.
And then the officers came, and Jerry talked very fast, even faster than usual. And the officer agreed to take the two newspapermen to jail with us.
Oh, very nice, Jerry. And did they take them?
Oh, boy, they sure did. I told the cop who arrested us just enough about you and the captain that he knew I had something serious to tell. And he agreed to hold those fellas and not let them get the story out until I had a chance to explain it at headquarters.
But how did you get the chief's attention at this time of day?
Oh, I just kept asking for him and saying you told me to talk to him. And pretty soon he came down to the jail. Well, after I told him the whole story, he held us all 3 hours and then let the reporters out at the same time he sent us down here.
We tried to get away earlier to join you, but the chief said he really had no reason to hold those men unless he held us also. And Jerry and I agreed that those 3 hours meant more to Captain Bradford and Elaine than they would to this boat.
And you thought exactly right. Tex should have time enough to land at Euclidia and take control before that news can possibly reach G47.
Well, that's what we figured.
Well, children, we're off on another mad race to the South Sea.
I hope this is the last one.
Don't worry, it will be. And when you get back, you can walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard all day handing out your autograph.
Why, Jerry, what does that remark mean?
I am a celebrity, Mother. I have given my autograph to a sergeant of police.
Oh, Joan, dear. I know you don't realize it, but you're a born diplomat. As long as you have the officers asking for your autograph, you'll do very well in our world.